Blog Talk Radio.
Villanova winning the national championship. Well, the Villanova Wildcats played a very, very, very tough game against the North Carolina Tar Heels. It went the last 6 seconds or so. It went back and forth, literally 3 for 3, 3-pointer for 3-pointer, and a 3-pointer was shot and made with 0.01 seconds remaining. This is Villanova's first national championship since 1985, and that was a very, 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 very dynamic team. This is a very, very, very awesome team. A lot of people had North Carolina picked to win it all. A lot of people had North Carolina picked to win it all, but at the end of the game, at the end of the day, when the clock hit zero, all zeros, Villanova pulled it out. We don't know what lies ahead for the Villanova program. We do know that they're going to just finish recruiting so they can get ready for this next season coming up. They look to be solid once again going into next year. Villanova is a very, very, very good squad. This year they were probably known as having one of the best defenses in the nation, and that rematch against Oklahoma, they showed that by beating Oklahoma by 44 points, which is the largest defeat in NCAA history. This is probably the second largest defeat that I've seen OU take in the NCAA tournament. The last defeat I've seen them take that was almost as bad was their defeat in 2009, when the Sooners took on University of Louisville, and Louisville won 90-54. It was I don't know what to say. I mean, they held Buddy Hield, who was averaging 26 points a game, number two scorer in the nation, to 9. They held him to 9 points. I mean, what can I say? Hats off to those Villanova Wildcats out there in Philly. Hope they're celebrating and enjoy it while it lasts. Prepare to reload for next season. On to the NBA playoff picture. The NBA playoff picture is looking really, really, it's starting to really shake down and form up. But those last spots, those last spots are slowly start to show themselves. slowly start to show themselves. As of today, in the East, it will be Cleveland, who's 56-23, against Indiana, who's 42-37, in the first round. All right. The second seed is Toronto. They'll be matched up with Detroit. Toronto is 56-53-26, and Detroit is 43-37. Detroit got a very, very, very important win against the Oklahoma City Thunder last week, which kind of pushed them into the seventh spot. Prior to that game, they were in position to take the eighth spot, but that win and then other wins afterwards helped propel them to the number seven spot. All right, the third matchup is Atlanta, 47-32, against Charlotte, who is 46-33. And for the final spot, number four versus number five, we're looking at Boston versus Miami. Boston is 47-32, and Miami is 46-33. This looks to be a very, very, very good matchup. Probably looks to be the toughest matchup. This is probably the best four versus five matchup in the East, and this is one that could go either way. But during this, in the playoffs, this one could go either way. But Boston has a 2-0 lead in the regular season, both games they've played. So I think Boston would try to use that momentum to springboard them in this series and make it to the second round. Right now, Chicago is on the outside looking in. They have three games left, but I don't think they have enough to put themselves in position, but they're still in the hunt. Okay. Houston still has a shot in the West at number nine. Now, the first matchup, one versus eight, we're looking at Golden State, who's 70-9, taking on the Utah Jazz, who's 39-40. These are as of today. Now, Utah has three games left, but at the same time, Houston also has three games left, two home games and one away game. And right now, Utah's looking at one home game and two away games. So Houston could possibly knock Utah off for the number eighth and final playoff spot in the West. The second matchup is number two, San Antonio, who's 65-14, versus Dallas, who's 41-38. This looks to be a solid matchup. San Antonio is already playoff ready, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to this series, San Antonio is too good. They have too much firepower, and Dallas just looks to be overmatched in this one. Now, on the number three spot, this looks to be a very, very competitive series. We're actually looking at Oklahoma City and Memphis in the third game. The number three seed Oklahoma City Thunder is 54-25 versus Memphis, who's 42-37. In the regular season, Oklahoma City leads that series 2-1. With that being said, it looks to be a very, very physical series. A lot of Oklahoma City Thunder fans are wanting them to get to the second round. If they can get to the second round and win their second round match, whoever they meet in the Western Conference final, they make it to the second round and win the second round. Whoever they meet in the Western Conference final could make a great series in the end. And what's really, really crazy, if you put the, if you match up the East versus the West, you know, in the East right now, hands down, Cleveland looks like they could make it in the East. In the West, realistically, Golden State, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City, all three have a legitimate shot at playing in the finals and winning the championship. Now, the fourth and final matchup, 4 versus 5, you have the Los Angeles Clippers, who are 51-28, versus Portland, who's 43-37. The Clippers lead the series. They played 4 times this season. And the other thing on top of that, they're in the same division. So the Clippers have a 3-1 lead in the series. Of those games, the closest game of the series was the matchup in Los Angeles, where the Clippers beat Portland by 2, 96-94. Now, in the West, it's just playoff basketball in the West is just going to look good from top to bottom. In the East, okay, we're looking for Cleveland looks like they have horsepower. You know what I'm saying? So, Cleveland looks like they have horsepower and they like just can take off with it. And it looks like they can do well against pretty much anybody, you know, in the Eastern Conference. With that being said, let's move on to the NFL. Let's talk the NFL draft. Okay, with the NFL draft coming up, this is probably one of the most unique years for the first time ever. There are a lot of analysts saying don't have enough quarterback NFL ready quarterbacks per se, but right now we're just going to look at the top 10 picks in the first round. Right now, most analysts on NFL.com. Three out of four analysts, we're talking Charlie Casserly, Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, and Charles Davis. These analyses and picks were done on April the 7th, April the 5th, March the 29th, and March 23rd. You know, so these are coming from four different people. Now, three out of the four analysts I just named have Tennessee picking Laramie Tunsil, offensive tackle, out of University of Mississippi. University of Mississippi over the last 10 years or so have produced a lot of really, really good, really, really talented and productive offensive linemen. The one that's a marquee name out of Ole Miss, Michael Orr. At the second pick right now, three out of four have Carson Wentz of North Dakota State. He was a quarterback who have led them to back-to-back national championships in the 1AA division for the North Dakota State Bison. The other analyst had Laramie Tunsil going second to Cleveland. The fourth analyst for the number one pick had Jalen Ramsey, cornerback from Florida State, going to Tennessee. Now, it's kind of a toss up at number three between the four. It's 50-50 across the board. You have two guys going for DeForest Buckner, defensive end from Oregon, going to the Chargers. And then you also have two analysts going with Jalen Ramsey, cornerback from Florida State, going to the Chargers. And I think that's a great either or would be a great pickup by the Chargers. I mean, it's either or. Now, at number four, unanimously across the board, the Dallas Cowboys look like they're going to pick Joey Bosa, the All-American from Ohio State, at number four. You solid guy, 6'6", 275, 280. He's quick, great use of hands. He can line him up inside or outside. So, you can line him up inside or outside. He's a very, 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 very solid defender. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the number five pick, and you it's kind of a little bit all over the place at number five. You have Casserly having Jalen Ramsey from Florida State at number five. Bucky Brooks has Miles Jack, outside linebacker from UCLA, at number five. Daniel Jeremiah has Vernon Hargreaves, cornerback from Florida, at number five. And Charles Davis also, just like Charles Davis, kind of shares the same feelings that Bucky Brooks has with Miles Jack at number five. The Baltimore Ravens have the sixth pick. Ronnie Staley, from offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, looks like he's going to be the number six pick, according to Casserly. Bucky Brooks is kind of going in a different direction with DeForest Buckner at number six, as well as Daniel Jeremiah. And Charles Davis also has Ronnie Staley. So that looks to be very, very, very – It also looks to be a toss-up and could go either way at number six for Baltimore. The 49ers are in a very, very unique position. They're looking at another quarterback and possibly another defensive player. Either way, according to the two analysts, we're looking at four totally different picks according to all four analysts. Charlie Casserly has Jared Goff out of California, the quarterback out of California, going to the 49ers. Bucky Brooks at number seven has Shaq Lawson, defensive end All-American from Clemson, at number seven. Daniel Jeremiah has Miles Jack going to falling to number seven and going to the 49ers. And Charles Davis even went as far as saying Carson Wentz probably slipped down to number seven in his book going to the 49ers. The Philadelphia Eagles are projected to make a trade with the Dolphins, you know, for the number eight pick. And either and this is another 50-50 pick in the first 10 picks. Ezekiel Elliott, All-American running back and national championship MVP, Ezekiel Elliott, is looked to be that pick, according to Casserly and Jeremiah. Bucky Brooks and Charles Davis both are thinking Jared Goff would be the quarterback that the Philadelphia Eagles would pick up at the number eighth pick. The number ninth pick would be going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Casserly and Charles Davis are once again on accord with the same pick, with Vernon Hargreaves, cornerback out of Florida. And you have Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah sharing the same thoughts about defensive end, All-ACC player Kevin Dodd, who had a great showing in the semifinal against OU, and then, you know, had a decent game in the national championship against Alabama. The number 10 pick is going to go to the New York Giants. And with this pick going to the New York Giants, Miles Jack, Ronnie Staley, and Kevin Dodd look to be the three picks possibly for the Giants. They do need they do need defenders, and they also need help on the offensive line for Eli Manning. Now, Ronnie Staley is offensive tackle, All-American from Notre Dame. Miles Jack is an outside linebacker from UCLA, and Kevin Dodd is one half of the bookends that were from Clemson that were wreaking havoc. Now, we're going to go back up and talk about the number 8 pick again due to the projected trade. Now, at the projected trade, you know, the Dolphins would possibly get number 8. And the Eagles would possibly move to 13. Now, in that scenario, with the Dolphins possibly moving to 8, mm-hmm. you're talking Ezekiel Elliott, Jared Goff, and you're talking Ezekiel Elliott and Jared Goff, according to, you know, according to the 4 analysts. But let's just say at 13, you're talking possibly Shaq Lawson falling all the way back to 13, according to Charles Davis. Daniel Jeremiah is saying Eli Apple, cornerback from Ohio State, at number 13. Ezekiel Elliott also being at number 13, an offensive tackle from Michigan State, Jack Conklin. Now, that's due to the trade. Now, there are several projected trades in the first round, but today we're just going to talk about the first 10 picks. We're just going to talk about the first 10 picks. Next week's show, we're going to talk about the rest. We're pretty much going to talk about the rest of the first round in the mock draft. We're going to also talk about the update and final standings for the NBA playoff picture and playoff seedings. And we're pretty much going to cover what anything new that pops up within the week. This was a very, very good show. Stay tuned next week. Stay tuned next week for shows number 3 and 4. Show number 3 will be happening on Monday at 10 a.m. And I guess I will talk to you later. This is the 10-7. Live sports halftime show. This is AJ, and I'm out.